Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. You're home for common sense, conservative values delivered every day by a mom, by a proud American, by someone who loves his country, our values, the people, most of them, what we stand for, what we won't bend a knee to. You're going to get it all here on this program in the next 3 hours. If you're a first timer, follow us, Wendy Bell Radio Network app. You can join the live stream. We've got a chat through the entire program, also on Newsmax on the N2 channel for the last 2 hours, and our podcast, Wendy Bell Radio, wherever you get your favorite listening stuff. Find us, download us, follow, like, share, give us a 5-star review. Just keep on coming back because there's always room at the table for you. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. One nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. I have this moment right now where my inner me is having a battle. Because I have this one side that believes in forgiveness. It believes in faith and forgiving and meeting in the middle and cooperating and compromising and bridging gaps. And then there's that other side of me. And it's, I will never forgive you. I will never forget what you've done. There is no conversation to have. There is no weaseling your way back into my life. There is no compromise because you're dead to me. Now, the dead that I'm talking about is an entity. It's not just an individual. It's all of the suck since COVID that we all knew, living in common sense world, was completely over the top. It was completely reactionary. It was fear-mongering. It was following the leader. And it was an awful lot of people in our lives. Democrats, liberals, leftists, Marxists, socialists, communists, all of them who were so quick to pick up that panic ball and run with it and double mask and freak out and go and get vaccinated without thinking about it. And now all of a sudden, all of these same people who've been hitting at us and punching us and kicking us and telling us that we're the bad people, that somehow we're wrong because we asked questions and we were hesitant and we listened to those voices inside of ourselves that just said, wait a minute, what is going on here? And these people told us we were wrong, that we were deniers, that we were extremists, that we were insurrectionists, that we were nationalists, that we were radical. Well, if hitting the brakes and slowing down and saying, wait a minute, something's off here and we need to talk about it. We were demonized for that, for using that God-given common sense that grows over time the more you've been screwed. So there's this conversation today, this Tucker Carlson, Chris Cuomo conversation. The two men sit down for a couple hours and did an interview. I haven't seen it. I saw a brief like snippet after the fact of Chris Cuomo on News Nation for about 10 minutes as he's unpacking his new idea that social media is the cancer and conversation is the cure. And that's a great slogan. It's a great freaking bumper sticker. But I will never forget how many times that man wagged his fingers at us and told us that whoever said protests were supposed to be peaceful, as Chicago behind him, as New York City burned, and even where I live, Pittsburgh, was vandalized, storefronts shattered, and people excused for looting and hurting other people and even murder. And people like Chris Cuomo and other faces and voices on the left chirping at us, telling us how wrong we were. All the while, I knew damn well the difference between right and wrong. And while I came to you during all of that as a mother first, for some reason, we didn't fall for the nonsense. And now, as the political tide is changing, as the Democrats and the Rhino Republicans see that it feels very likely their days are numbered, we're going to see this come about, this turn of people, a softening, an olive branch. Well, let's just, you know, let's just bury the hatchet and agree to disagree and just, we'll talk more. No. Because I will not forgive you. I will not forgive you for bastardizing and corrupting science. I will not forgive you for carrying the water of fear and panic. All things ridiculous that one sane person who could have stepped out in the spotlight, besides Donald Trump, could have said, look, America, this is the most magical place on planet Earth. We have some of the smartest minds, some of the finest doctors. Our researchers are at the top of the list. We've got this. Hold your family close. You're going to be okay. They didn't do that. They said, stay home. Stay calm. And we'll tell you when it's okay to resume life as normal. I will never forget that. And I'm sorry. Maybe that makes me a bad person. Guilty as charged. But when you see kids struggling to wear masks during a basketball game, and you see their stupid parents obliging, wearing rubber gloves and masks on the bleachers, you know. You know there is some weird disturbance in the force. And we're not coming back from that. I will not forgive. Does that make me wrong? Does that make me bad? I don't care. I also listened to this chorus of criticism for Alabama Republican, I should say, Senator Katie Britt. You know, she was the young woman who gave the Republican response to Joe Biden's outlandish, angry State of the Union. And everybody who's taking umbrage with her, I'd say about 90% don't like the style in which she expressed herself. Look at us. Look at us. I'm as guilty as the rest of you. Judging people for their passion, how something affects them. She was too breathy. It looked like she was acting. She was pretending. No. Because her eyes and her voice and her face and her words, I feel every day. I tell you, it scares me every day. Because I feel something. And it's my job to put it into words, to connect with you, to connect dots, to expose garbage on both sides. While, of course, celebrating the greatest gift we have. And that is to have the honor and the privilege to complain and judge as much as we do in the freest place on earth. Except that is slipping through our fingers. And I will not forgive people who created the January 6th setup. I will not forgive the people who created a virus and lied about it. and then came up with the antidote, which was worse than the virus. I won't forgive that. I won't forgive the people who knowingly snatched people out of their homes, off the streets, away from their loved ones, and threw them away to maintain a charade, all to destroy one man's candidacy and to put a finger in the eye of the conservative movement. How do you forgive? Because I don't have that grace. And even if you did forgive, do you ever forget? Will you ever forget the media for lying to you every single day? Because they do. Will you ever forget your leadership, your state and federal leaders for lying to you every single day? Because they do. How do you cooperate? How do you meet in the middle? How do you move this country forward when you have been kicked and you have been doxxed and you have been ridiculed and you have been canceled and you have been fired and you have been lied to again and again and again? I don't know. I hope to one day report to you I've discovered that grace. Alas, I fear it's a far way away. When we come back, the asleep at the wheel conservatives awaken. A huge push to register Republican voters, perhaps in a place you would find unlikely. I've got it for you next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. I find it interesting that Chris Cuomo, all of a sudden now, formerly of CNN, the guy who went to bat for his brother and lied and did all this stuff and got fired, whatever. You can claim, I love my brother, whatever, right? I find it very interesting that he's got his olive branch ready to go right now. This is the time he's ready to rock and roll. Because everything is about to change. There is going to be an extraordinarily speedy transformation in this country. Because we cannot waste a single day sitting around a table trying to figure out what our objectives are. We know what our objectives are. I've been doing it every single day behind this microphone. Like it or hate it, that's what I do. This speed, though, is going to be dizzying. We're going to talk about stuff going on at the RNC. If it's any indication of Donald Trump's effect on the Republican Party moving forward, we're going to see some rapid change, and it can't come too soon. This is inspiring to me. Are you guys familiar with the name Ralph Reed? I was not. He is the former executive director of the Christian Coalition. This was founded by Pat Robertson many years ago, right? And this guy, Ralph Reed, now is behind a monster, multi-million dollar push to register Republican voters at church. And this is the story from Politico. Like, one of the things that I've complained about for so many years is how woefully ambivalent it seems the Republican electorate is. We get comfortable on cruise control, right? We are asleep at the wheel. And because we're not paying attention, because by and large, we're not meddlesome people. We like to be left alone and we don't go prying in other people's business. We have not paid attention to all of these changes, all the way down to the local level, where people who suck, who are in positions of power now, and we're like, oh crap, we got to get rid of these people. Well, this is a very interesting article by Politico. It says Ralph Reed's army plans $62 million spending spree to boost evangelical turnout. Now, this is another one of my reasons why I don't meet in the middle with the left. There is no compromise when the knives came out after the Iowa caucuses and the likes of toxic Joy Reid cackled about white evangelicals as though it was some kind of skin disease. Oh, well, those are all white evangelicals.
Well, let's just compare how white evangelicals are living their lives vis-a-vis other voting blocks, ladies and gentlemen. It's pretty successful. Here's your story. A prominent evangelical advocacy organization plans to significantly ramp up political spending in the 2024 election with one goal in mind: returning Donald Trump to the White House. Nothing scares Democrats more than a unified, mobilized, and purposeful Republican Party. And it sure feels like that's what's going on here. Faith and Freedom, which is a conservative-leaning organization, intends to spend, and this is whopping, $62 million registering and turning out evangelical voters, texting and calling supporters and door knocking. $10 million more than it spent 4 years ago. And the group is expected to, among other things, hand out 30 million pieces of literature in 125,000 churches, many of them in battleground states. Ooh. In terms of home visits and voters reached at the door, to my knowledge, it is the largest effort on the right outside of the Republican National Committee ever. Ralph Reed, longtime Republican strategist and Trump ally who oversees the organization, said of the Direct Voter Contact Enterprise. The investment underscores the degree to which the white evangelical community has allied itself with Trump, even as he faces a forthcoming trial on charges stemming from hush money payments to a porn actress. What else can we throw at the man? It also reveals the extent to which Trump may have to lean on outside groups like Reed's for help. I doubt that very much, Politico, but I do appreciate your attempt to spin that. The Republican National Committee, meanwhile, has just $8 million on hand. $8 million on hand. And now we hear, and we'll talk about it in the upcoming segments, that it's called a bloodbath at the RNC today. It's basically everybody's getting fired. Well, good. Wake the hell up. It ain't working. If you're spending millions of dollars on consultants to come in and tell you what you should do, how you should best be on the news and the media, you've lost focus. You don't deserve to have that job. $62 million, 30 million individual pieces of literature, 125,000 churches. You know what this means to me? This does not mean that evangelicals or conservatives are bending at all to meet in the middle with the left, who has lied to us and screwed us and forced things upon us and arrested us and canceled us and threw us in jail. There is no meeting, no bridging, no cooperating. It is going to be a full out bloodbath. And I don't know about you guys. I have no intention of losing. Not an option. And it kind of feels that way if Politico is writing about it. In fact, when we come back on the Wendy Bell Radio program, it is the unaffordable and unacceptable cost of believing Democrats, Joe Biden, all the economy's great. And the reality, the misery index, which tells us Biden's goose is cooked. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio program. It's a very predictable thing. The playbook reads the same. Again and again and again, we go through the same stuff. Different topics, same handling, and same result. You end up losing something and paying extra for something that drags our great constitutional republic down. And I fundamentally reject that. I fundamentally rejected back in the 90s the carving out of God from school. You don't have to have priests walking around your school to teach the idea
of salvation, the idea of a higher power, the idea of conscience, and that someday you're going to be kneecap to kneecap waiting to gain entrance into heaven, hopefully, and having to relive what you've done in your life. That's at least in my fantasy. That's what happens. And I can't forgive so much of what has happened. But to continue on the madness route that we are on, it is insanity. And it is very disingenuous. And the lies are demonstrable and they are disgusting. And I have grown weary, not just of the purveyors of falsehoods, but of the flock who fall for it. Wake up. Think for yourself. And I'm not even talking to you guys. You're here because you understand the content I deliver. People in my life who I don't understand their surrender to fear. The elimination of all logic, of reasoning, of slowing down and stepping back and taking a look at what was going on. All of it, from COVID to the January 6th musical, to the ridiculous January 6th committee, all of these, the whole LGBTQ thing, I can see all of it. And it's so freaking frustrating, particularly when Joe Biden got up at the State of the Union and tried to wax poetic selling this great economy. We're the envy of the world. No, we're not. You've made us a laughingstock. You've made us weak. You have exposed the abject corruption that has seeped like a slithering serpent into the finest fissures of not just our government, but our city streets and our homes. I mean, come on. And does anybody out there look in the grocery store and they look at the tally of what they're buying and what they get in their bags and say, you know what, he's right. This is building back better. I love this. It's so highly disingenuous and it's so insulting, right? Well, there's this very interesting thing. You've heard of the misery index. Well, I found this article at zerohedge.com, and I want to share it with you because the misery index is kind of an equation. You take unemployment, you add the consumer price index and inflation, and you equal a percentage. And if that percentage falls in a specific parameter, the president in charge of that economy is going to be reelected. And if you fall outside of that window, your goose is cooked. See, this is a very dangerous game to lie to people and tell them that what they're experiencing isn't real. There was a reason why alcohol-related deaths in 2021 to 2022 spiked over 20%. They shut down all of the AA meetings. They made people reclusive. But they kept the liquor stores open. So that in 2021, at the height of COVID and lockdowns and all the nonsense, it was totally preventable if there had been one adult in the room with a huevos to stand up and tell the truth and not go along with the suck. Something like 460 people in this country died from alcohol or alcohol-related problems every day. A huge uptick. Don't sit there and tell us that all is well. Remain calm when our house is burning down. U.S. swing states misery index shows Bidenomics is failing. Now, you don't necessarily need me to tell you this, but it is intriguing when you see it in the dollars and cents in some sort of an equation.
One of the most dangerous things a government can do is present a glossy picture of the economy at a time when families and small businesses are suffering, this article says. Governments are always optimistic, of course, but sending euphoric messages tends to backfire, especially when the situation for the middle class is so complicated. In the United States, the Biden administration's message of the strongest economy in decades is just not true. It may anger voters, in fact, who suffer the burden of negative real wage growth, accumulated inflation, and higher taxes. And I encourage all of you to hang tight for hour number two of today's show as we open the door to Joe Biden's monster $7+ trillion budget, $5.5 trillion of which are tax hikes. Can you guys spare any more money for migrants? Because that's what it's going to do. And it's on paper. In the United States, the Biden administration's message, the strongest economy ever, it's not working. According to a study by the Tax Policy Center, 20 to 30% of middle-income households saw a tax hike in 2022. And according to the Tax Foundation, workers bear an estimated 70% of the corporate income tax hikes. Beyond that, the ripple effect of just crap costing so dang much because of exactly what this administration is doing. And it is purposeful. The cause is obvious. The effect is irrefutable. And the purpose is to destroy America from within. And they're doing it. And they want your vote to do it for freaking more years. 70% of the corporate income tax hikes paid by us, paid by people in the middle class. Indirect taxation is only one source of purchasing power loss for families. Rising taxation on productive capacity reduces the availability of manufacturing jobs. It limits real wage growth and creates higher costs for consumers. One way of measuring the situation of families in the U.S. is the Misery 2 Index. This is calculated as the current unemployment rate added to the accumulated consumer price index measure of inflation over the past 4 years. Historically, the Misery 2 Index, according to Bloomberg Economics, has been 17.65% in years when the current president wins an election. You ready for it now? The reality of the United States economy today, far, far worse. The Misery 2 Index for the United States now stands at 23% for the whole nation. And Bloomberg Economics estimates that it will reach a staggering 24% by the time of the elections. This means that the average U.S. citizen has lost an enormous amount of wealth and purchasing power in salaries due to accumulated inflation. And low unemployment may not create voter support, as the reality of real wage growth also shows that the U.S. average U.S. worker is struggling. Don't tell me it's great when people are working multiple jobs. That's not bringing down the rate unemployment. People just have to work more. Because there's a chunk of folks who just decided during COVID to give it up. What? Why am I working? You're paying me to stay home. Why are the migrants going to work? They're getting prepaid debit cards, for heaven's sakes. That doesn't stir the juices of ingenuity. That doesn't make people go out and think outside the box and create a new mousetrap. It allows them to drink more and to slip into deep depression. And to consider suicide. That is what you get in Joe Biden's America. The recent minuscule increase in real wages is hardly good news when it comes after 25 months in a row of year after year declines in real wages in mid-2021 to mid-2023. And this means that the average hourly wage has increased by just 0.76% over the past 4 years. Is that buying you guys more toilet paper? Is that helping you buy infant formula? Or the ever increasingly shrinking tub of ice cream in the frozen food aisle at your grocery store? The Misery 2 Index is not just about the United States. According to Bloomberg, swing state economies have fared relatively poorly during the Biden presidency, especially during mid-2022. Now, do I need to sit here and tell you there's an economic equation and some guy on a website called Zero Hedge has crunched the numbers and the numbers suck and the numbers show Joe Biden is going to lose? Do you need me to tell you that? No. Your common sense tells you. But you need to know this so when everybody and his brother, and you're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about it. In fact, let's hear from Bob Casey Jr. from the state of Pennsylvania, sponsored by MyPillow, the most boring person in the Senate who's going to now carry the lies of the Biden administration that really everything is so rosy, you just don't realize it.
I think that one of the things we're seeing just in the last 48 hours is not just that contrast in terms of record. Record job growth, 15 million jobs across the country.
Bull.
I see it in Pennsylvania all the time.
No, you don't.
As well as the economic standing of our families. But I think what the president spoke to in his State of the Union address about working on lowering costs for families, whether it's lowering the cost of insulin by a lot, way down to $35 a month for seniors, or whether it's taking on greedflation and shrinkflation.
How dare you, Bob Casey, you senator of epic suck. How dare you blame corporations, greedflation, and shrinkflation. It's called Bidenomics, you feckless hack. And now I would imagine, though, you've been in the Senate for a good chunk here, that you would have nominal economics knowledge. And what Democrats sell, we can't afford. Stop freaking voting for insanity. Now, when we come back, I'll get it together. Maybe. Well, maybe they should have left the little Chiefs fan alone. You guys remember that story? I want to tell you quickly about this Deadspin issue. Remember the Chiefs fan? And they were like, oh, he's wearing a headdress and face paint. Blackface. Well, sometimes the suck catches up to you. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program. So in the cycle of suck, there is ultimately that point, that crest at which everything starts to roll back down. I think there is a statute on how long you can suck, right? Before everybody's like, you know what? You suck. Let's get rid of you. I think it has to happen. Sadly, Joe Biden hasn't realized his expiration date yet. But Deadspin has, and you'll remember this left-wing group of quote-unquote journalists. So apparently it's been sold. Deadspin is this website, and they've been sold to some European company that's just starting up, and the entire staff has been laid off. Look, I don't delight in anybody losing their job. I've lost multiple jobs, no matter whether down the road it's for the better, it almost always is. In the moment, it's difficult. Don't wish any ill on them. Well, not a lot of ill on them. Here's your story from Breitbart, because this is where people simply stop paying attention to you. They stop buying your products. They stop reading what you write. They don't click on your ads. They don't come to your site. They're not knocking on your door. And when that happens, you can't survive. It's happening more quickly now. That is a good thing. The left-wing sports news site, Deadspin, is under some new management as of just yesterday. Its entire staff now looking for a job. The website was sold to a journalism startup from Europe, and on Monday, staffers were told the new company would completely clean house and start with all new employees. You say to yourself, I never watched them anyway. I never read what they wrote. I've never even put Deadspin in my toolbar. Who cares? Well, this is what happens when common sense conservatives awaken and act and get off of cruise control. And people have. Jim Spenfeller, the CEO of the parent company, GO Media, that sold the sports site, broke the news to employees in a memo that sent them all scrambling. Recently, we were approached by the European firm Lineup Publishing, expressing interest in purchasing Deadspin to add to their growing media holdings, he said in a message to the New York Post. Spenfeller said Lineup Publishing had decided not to carry over any of the site's existing staff and instead build a new team more in line with their editorial vision for the brand. The rationale behind the decision to sell included a variety of important factors and included the buyer's editorial plans for the brand. Bull. tough competition in the sports journalism sector. That's code for we got our butts handed to us when we had some hack come out and try to play a race card and accuse a 9-year-old boy of being a racist. And it blew up magnificently in their faces. So let's go back and remember what happened, of course. Firings come on the tail of an embarrassing woke scandal in which one of the site's top writers accused a 9-year-old NFL fan of being a racist at a Kansas City Chiefs game last year. In November, senior Deadspin writer Karan Phillips blasted Chiefs fan Holden Armenta as a racist for wearing blackface. At a game when images of the boy wearing an Indian headdress, a Chiefs jersey, and black face paint went viral, Phillips blasted the child, his parents, and the NFL as a racist agenda, with a racist agenda against both blacks and Native Americans. But, oh, yeah, that's where he didn't do any research and he let his ire and his race lens cloud his vision and his ability to do his due diligence. Yet the boy had half black and half red face paint, which are the colors of the NFL team, and that the boy himself has Native American heritage. God, that so sucks. Oh, well, the article was eventually updated to reflect more of the facts, right? But it didn't come out with Karan Phillips saying, you know what? I jumped to a conclusion and I made a mistake. And I labeled like a lunatic, a little boy, an entire sports league, and the parents of this child racists, because that's how I view the world. And I'm ashamed. And I'm embarrassed. And I beg forgiveness from these people. And I promise to do better if I'm allowed to keep my job. Now, if he had said that, I would have been like, well, let's pay attention to what Karan, whatever his name is, Phillips is writing from now on. But he didn't. It was one of those limp-wristed corrections. The little asterisk that's like, oh, psst. Yeah, you know that part where we said it was racist? Yeah, we were wrong about that. So, sorry. Not good enough. The article was eventually updated to represent more of the facts. But the family eventually filed a lawsuit against Deadspin for defamation. Anyway, might that be the final nail in their rapidly hemorrhaging pockets of finance? What was that? Oh, that's right. A lawsuit. Look. We are watching in real time the correcting of a lot of things. People pushed us too far. Going too far doesn't work. Now they want to inch it back. And they want to kind of sort of a little bit apologize. Yeah, well, maybe we shouldn't have done that, you know, blasting all of the deaths from COVID when we knew it really wasn't COVID deaths. No. I will not forgive and I will not forget. And that Deadspin is going away, at least in this iteration. Maybe that should be a call to every other business out there who's been beaten over the head with DEI garbage pushed by BlackRock and Vanguard and all sorts of the other people out there who suck in global circles. Maybe instead of hiring people for what they look like or who they love, we should merely get back to the business of a meritocracy. We want the best and the brightest. And if you're not, then you're not welcome. Period. Hour number two of the Wendy Bell Radio program is on deck. We're going to talk about this. Joe Biden wants to finish the job, right? Which is code for we're going to bankrupt America forever. The $7 trillion budget and the straight face with which it was delivered. Oh boy, buckle up. Next.